Oi, lads, did you miss out on the Jaren's Outpost Kickstarter and wish you weren't such a big doofus? Well, fear not. Late pledges are now open and they'll be open for a little while. So just head to Kickstarter, search for D&Ds for Nerds or Jaren's Outpost and slam that late pledge button.
Link, Sir Grace the Fresh Adventurer, destroying bandit camps in the Ironwood Forest surrounding Fairburn Point. Blink, Sir Grace the Barkeep, pouring drinks for a beleaguered populace, lending a friendly ear, overhearing, always listening. Blink, Sir Grace the Regent, watching vigilant from the eaves of Fairburn Keep. Blink, 2,000 eyes, 1,000 plans, and all requiring a personal touch. This is the State of Grace.
Sir Grace, you stand in the throne room of Fairburn Castle, surrounded by the many trinkets, artifacts, and weaponry your Knights of the Rose have recovered for your preparations. Your power here is uncontested and near absolute. Without raising a gauntlet, you have settled as Lord in all ways but rank. Before you ever came here, the previous Lord of Fairburn Point died from a malignant disease he had carried since childhood. Many called him cursed, as even the highest servants of gods could not cure him. You remember when you first arrived all that time ago with your daughter and Hector in tow, the funeral procession that passed you, bearing his body and that of his son and only heir, who was slain in the destruction of Sunsun, some say by a monster. The Lady of Fairburn Point, who had no claim to the city herself, has left for a quiet life in North Hallow. But not before you used your fame and the trust the people have placed in heroes to convince her to name you regent. As regent, your power is that of a caretaker. While the closest blood relative of the late lord is being found, you hold the keys to power. Fairburn Point's militia, known as the Gate Guards, have bent the knee. The most powerful cleric in Fairburn Point, known only as the High Priest, has bent the knee. The Treasurer, Patrician Valen Otvos, has bent the knee. The Court Wizard, Jindabyne the Howling Mad, has bent the knee. Even Fairburn Point's highest spy, the Master of Masks, has bent the knee. With Sir Lyca Silvery Moon, one of your oldest and most trusted allies, by your side, you feel there is little you cannot do. Here you stand, gathering your strength and biding your time, waiting for the moment to strike. Your ship, the Stormfaller, approaches the Knights of Carcery as they attempt to surreptitiously investigate the machinations of the cult you have grown around you. A plot your Master of Masks easily uncovered and alerted you to. Meanwhile, a team of dwarven archaeologists are investigating an ancient city that was recently uncovered by adventurers of the Greyhill Free Company. Tales of an elder evil that was released there have piqued your curiosity, and your court wizard, Jindabyne, has infiltrated the team to learn more. Not far off the coast in the Kirkman Channel, a small flotilla under the command of Sir Lyca Silvery Moon awaits your orders to take the Lonely Tower, source of the Inky Black. And finally, the High Priest has alerted you that dragons local to the area are gathering for a Genu Kisjan, or Great Meeting. The purpose of this Genu Kisjan is unclear, but these events are rare, even by draconic standards, and old treaties of Fairburn Point allow a High Priest of Kandor to attend by paying a tithe of gold. But before any of these plans and plots can be acted upon, Patrician Valen Otvos informs you that a dignitary from Hydale, from the king, has arrived. You stand in the throne room.
The throne room would probably not be the best place to receive the dignitary, right? Would we have...
Yes.
Somewhere more fitting, perhaps, because we want to give off a sort of friendly
inviting air.
An inviting air.
You don't want things to seem suspicious.
No, absolutely. Okay, I would like to, instruct somebody to set up some kind of meeting place.
Right.
Possibly for, what time is it?
It would be just past midday.
Okay, for a lunch. For a luncheon.
Well, the throne room is currently empty, but you know there are guards stationed outside. As you approach the doors to speak to someone, there's a...
Come in.
The doors creak open, and Patrician Valen Otvos enters the throne room. He wears heavy cloaks and hoods, dressing less like a member of nobility, is what he should be dressing, and more like a monk. Heavy scars cover every inch of his body, making his flesh look warped and distorted. Publicly, he claims what this is the crime of a pyromancer who was publicly tried and sentenced to death many years ago. But really, this is something you're aware of, really this is because he underwent a ritual of self-conflagration as part of membership of a cult that he is the leader of, actually, the Order of Lumos.
Okay.
People who worship flames above all else, believing that fire cleanses all and gives birth to new life. It's a one of many cults that have spun out of the horrors that have left the Lonely Tower. You have co-opted this cult into your circle of influence, as you have with many others around Fairburn Point.
Yeah, sure.
Valen Otvos views you essentially as his god, but the influence of the Inky Black is intense for some. So you can, if you want... You can control him, shall we say, more directly if you want. How independent he is kind of a matter for you to decide.
I would say that he is not directly controlled.
Yeah.
That he is controlled through more traditional means rather than through the use of the Inky Black.
Okay.
I think Sir Grace thinks it's useful to have some people who are not magically influenced, but merely socially influenced or structurally influenced.
Well, Valen would be one of your most devout followers, genuinely believing you to be his god. You feel utterly convinced that he would do anything at your command. Valen, as he closes the door behind him, he bows low to you, puts himself down on one knee, remains there while he's talking to you.
I put out my, I'm assuming I have maybe a ring on my finger.
Sure.
Maybe a wedding ring. I put out my hand for it to be kissed by him.
He kisses your ring.
Okay.
And then speaks respectfully. The dignitary awaits you in the grand war room. I thought it unwise to bring him here directly. He speaks for the king, after all, and should be considered an extension of his eyes and ears. Or, and Valen now speaks with genuine sadness, or at least he once was the king's eyes and ears. Sir Grace, King Linus the Grey, third of his name but first of his title, has passed quietly in his sleep. They say the stresses of the uprising at Blue Beach, you know of this, Blue Beach is in open revolt, were too much for him. I know you were close.
Yeah, we were. Is there talk of an heir?
The dignitary is here on behalf of the Crown Princess, Jacinta.
Oh.
This is not surprising. Jacinta was Linus's eldest daughter and was in line to inherit the throne. This is also something you probably, this hasn't happened in your lifetime.
Yeah.
The Crown Princess is obviously, you immediately are like, oh, she's sending out dignitaries to all corners of the nation to collect, essentially to collect oaths of service and to ensure that everything is, no one's going to revolt, essentially.
Yeah. Well, she'll find us most cooperative, I'm sure.
There is perhaps reason to worry. Sir Grace, the dignitary, I came with an accountant.
Oh.
An accountant will surely be here to see our finances, inspect our populations. They will find irregularities. You're aware of this.
Yeah.
As part of Fairburn Point's quote-unquote agreement with Hydale, with the king, and now the queen, or soon to be queen, you are supposed to, in times of war, like with Blue Beach, you're supposed to send troops.
Right.
And you're supposed to send a certain percentage of troops. You have not done that.
Well, yeah, for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let me talk to the dignitary.
Valen stands. You can speak now, or I can lead later. I, if you wish, can say that you are busy for now.
No, I think it would be good for me to speak now. As little suspicion as we can cause.
He nods.
Yeah.
Please follow me.
I follow him through the castle. I, you know, sort of like, control myself to make myself seem, appropriate.
Sure. You make your way to the Grand War Room, one of the many in the main hall. There's many side rooms for different types of meetings. The Grand War Room is one of the biggest, but also one of the least used. Fairburn Point doesn't experience a lot of hardship in that way. It's relatively quiet. Whoever designed the War Room quite clearly had an inflated idea of how important Fairburn Point would be.
Oh, that's funny.
There's a huge table for many different advisors to sit at, and there's all sorts of maps on the walls. But, I mean, you can decide this, actually.
Yeah.
The maps, when you came here, would have been quite old and probably inaccurate.
Yeah.
But if you want, you can probably have updated these.
Yeah, I probably would have, to be honest. Yeah. I would have made them, more contemporary maps that are more accurate. Yeah.
Many of your, quote-unquote, predecessors never saw use for this room. So it sat quite disused for some time.
Cool.
There are only two people sitting at the table. One of them is quite obviously the dignitary. You can see that he's wearing finery. He looks quite well-dressed. And you can see he has a sigil that marks him as a direct dignitary of the once king, but now soon-to-be queen, the Seal of Hydale. And sitting next to him is what is quite obviously an accountant. She has many books in front of her, and she has a little gnomish counting machine, a calculator. Yeah.
Good afternoon. My name is Sir Grace, as I'm sure you're aware. I've yet to hear your names. I'm sorry, my associate here didn't give them to me. Forgive me.
The dignitary stands up, gives a... When he snaps his heels, you hear them literally click.
Okay.
he gives a little snap of his heels, and very quickly sizing up the disparity, or you can see very quickly the dignitary is deciding if he needs to bow to you.
If I can see that?
Absolutely.
Oh, no need for formalities.
Very well, then. I am Viscount Ignatius Pugliese.
Viscount Ignatius Pugliese? Is
Pugliese.
That it? Pugliese, yeah. Well, it's a pleasure to meet you. And your accountant?
Not important.
I would like to know the name of everybody that I'm speaking to, if that's okay.
A little squeak from next to the Viscount comes out. Ada!
Ada?
Ada.
Well, it's a pleasure to meet you, Ada. Do you have a surname, Ada?
She is about to speak, but then Pugliese interrupts her. Please, we must converse these things later.
Okay, of course, forgive me. I look around the war room. Would you prefer to have this conversation in more comfortable quarters? I don't know if this is the right atmosphere for a conversation like this. It doesn't have to be so formal.
Oh, well, you are the regent. This is your decisions.
I pull out maybe a pocket watch. It's getting close to lunchtime. I don't know if you've eaten before arriving here.
He looks down at Ada, who very pointedly looks away from him. Then he looks back at you. And anytime he moves, by the way, you hear jingling and tinkling of the many different metals that he's wearing. Yeah, he's wearing many necklaces. He has many rings. It's very well. This... I would consider myself peckish, I might say.
No, I would say I'm the same.
Please, lead on.
That sounds like a good idea. Is there anything you'd like for lunch? I'm sure I could get the cook to whip up something to your taste.
Perhaps in mutton?
Yes, I'm sure we can do that. I'll lead them to some kind of dining area.
While we speak, if one of your staff members could give Ada, please, some of the books...
Yes.
We would like to get started immediately.
I'm sure that's something we could do. Maybe we'll wait till we're seated, and then once the food is coming, I can go and organize that for you.
Almost comically, the Viscount taps his feet. And once again, you hear that metal.
Yeah.
He has metalled shoes, which is a very odd odd thing. But you, Sir Grace, you are not unfamiliar to the court at Hydale, and you are aware that this was maybe metalled shoes were kind of coming into fashion as you were leaving to come down to Fairburn Point. You would see the Viscount as someone who perhaps wants to be perceived as esteemed and almost a celebrity.
In the way he's tapping his feet, I get like the impression that he wants to hurry things along and that he's about to maybe suggest as such?
Great question. The Viscount appears impatient, impatient and maybe a little mad.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but not like he started this way.
Yes, interesting.
You're not sure. You feel like you came here. You don't feel like he was waiting very long, so you're not sure what this is about.
Before he can say anything, I would like to stop, like, walking in the corridor and be like, where are my manners? I just want to say how sorry I am for the loss of Linus the Grey. Though I'm sure Jacinta will make a fine leader. But I would like to extend my...
Is that something you might actually know? How familiar would you have been
pretty
with...
Pretty familiar, yeah? I imagine.
Jacinta was a very studious person, very clever and quick-witted. Okay. Any encounter you would have had with her, she would have been very... Like, she kind of was... Because obviously, from the moment she was born, everyone knew she was going to be inheriting the title. So she was kind of trained in the courtly ways and in many different schools of thought and theory from a young age. So she is a very clever person. So you might genuinely believe that.
Yeah, yeah. She was a brilliant woman when I knew her the last time I spoke to her. So I have no doubt she'll make a fine leader. Nevertheless, I grieve for King Linus the Grey.
I will convey your regrets to the Crown Princess.
Thank you very much.
And, of course, she wishes to extend to you her condolences as well. You and Linus, the King, obviously, were close friends from even a young age.
Very much so. I owe a great deal to him.
The Crown has always found the House of Grace to be close allies and wishes to reiterate this closeness in this time. You have both lost.
Yes. Yes, we have. Can I force a tear?
I don't think I need a roll for that. Okay. I think you're whatever's going on with your body, you have a lot more control over what physically is happening than you once did.
I force a moistness to my eyes, and then with like a monogrammed handkerchief, I wipe it away. Excuse me, I say.
Of course, I
put it back.
Well, please, lead on.
Of course, of course. I'll take them to a dining area, and then I would like to go into the kitchen while I leave them at like a large, nicely set up table.
Yeah.
You know, something that's kind of like ornate, but not showy. I don't want to... I'm trying to kind of strike the balance between being like, hey, we're just happy to live within your rule,
but
also to be like, we're not slobs. You know, where everything's up to snuff here. And then I'll go into the kitchen and I'll make a request for mutton.
All right, you step into the kitchen. Mm-hmm. As you're speaking with the chef, who maybe a lot of the staff here are just skin stretched over inky black.
Yeah.
I imagine, but maybe not.
I probably actually would just step into the kitchen and not say anything. But...
Sure, yeah.
I'm just kind of doing it to take a little breather, because honestly, the moment he said mutton, the signal would have gone out to the cooks in the kitchen.
They're already preparing, they're already preparing mutton. You step into the kitchen and... Maybe you could see there's a broken plate on the floor from where one of the hands was quite clearly just moving around, dropped what they were doing, turned around and started preparing. You're standing. Yeah, you when you step in, you crunch on some broken cutlery. Not cutlery, sorry, some broken
crockery,
plates.
Yeah.
There's a sink which is currently filled with water, dirty dish water from where that person was cooking. The water sloshes from one side to the other. From one side to the other, and it keeps slapping against the side of your boat, the capital ship, the only military ship in the flotilla. Most of Fairburn Point's flotilla is made up of fishing vessels, trawlers, smaller vessels, larger vessels, but none really designed for war, which, with the plans you have, isn't a huge deal.
Yeah.
You stand on deck, your awareness drifts slightly, and you are standing on deck next to Sir Laika Silvermoon. What are you, Sir Grace?
I am a sort of an inky black construct of Sir Grace. Looking obviously human, but there's not much underneath the skin other than inky black. I imagine I look like a much younger version of Sir Grace. A sort of Sir Grace in his prime, if you will.
When he still had hair.
Yeah, exactly. A not balding, no belly Sir Grace.
Perhaps a sillier version of this game. You would be constantly running your fingers through
your
hair.
Oh my God. Remember? Yeah. Feel my abs, Laika.
So Laika Silvermoon is, well, as an elf, he really hasn't changed appearance much in the entire time you've known him. He wears what might be tricked into thinking is mostly ceremonial armor, but in the elven fashion, it's very functional armor. It looks like it should be one solid piece of metal, but it bends like it's almost like it's made out of fabric.
Oh, cool.
But it is metal.
Yeah, yeah.
There are leaf patterns woven into the metal, and it's made out of a very silvery type material. So like a silvery moon, mm-hmm. who is possibly the most elf person you've ever seen, with the exception of a very narrow and sharp widow's peak compared awesome. To your full yeah. head of hair. So like a silvery moon is perhaps your only advisor, confidant, lieutenant, who is in no way influenced by the inky black. You knew this going... The moment your plan formulated, you knew that Sir Lycus Silvery Moon would back you 100%. You have known each other for a long time.
That's awesome.
He's just a true believer in the cause.
I stare up at the lonely tower, which I imagine is kind of directly in our view.
Yeah.
How's it looking?
It looks ominous, but perhaps you don't feel ominousness from it.
No.
You, to a normal person, perhaps to Laika, it might seem ominous, but to you it feels a little bit, there's a part of you that feels like home.
Okay. I know what part that is.
Yeah.
I turned to Laika, possibly from previously just being completely inert on the deck of the ship. How are things? Where are we at?
Well, plans have nearly come to fruition. Mm-hmm. We've surrounded. You might not be able to see with the tower and the wall. You now probably notice the wall running the entire length of the tower. Mm-hmm. The wall doesn't look really functional as a wall. It doesn't look like it's going to keep anyone out. It seems more like a... kind of like, actually, the vibe it gives is like the blank space for a signature on a contract. Crossing this wall is not supposed to, it's not supposed to be a challenge. It's supposed to be you accepting liability. Yeah.
Are the contract breakers in position?
Of course. They await but an order.
Mm-hmm.
The plan that you have worked out with Sir Lycus Silvery Moon is you're aware the entity that dwells within the Lonely Tower is mostly unaware of the influence it's having on the material world.
Mm-hmm.
So you're expecting your initial incursion to meet very little resistance.
Yeah.
Once the entity
is aware of us,
then you're expecting something serious. But hopefully that should be after everyone's off the boats because you, like I said, these are fishing vessels, not entities of war.
Yes, yeah, for sure. Well, what are we waiting for?
But the word... So, like a silvery moon gives a little gesture, and your ship, the only warship, fires signal flares a lit along it, which transfer to several other ships, and then all the tiny little vessels begin drifting towards the wall. You watch as people... Would you have all of these as little ink people, or would it be
I think it would be a combination.
Yeah,
because
I
think the ink people, there's a chance that that won't establish a contract because they're not traditional people.
Sure.
So I'm going to need some real people to clamber over it so that if I need to break the contract with my contract breakers, which I imagine are wizards within my influence, that they can do that and they can manipulate the contract however they want, just to help us make the initial incursion. So it'd be a combination.
Absolutely. There would be plenty. You have access to plenty of both.
Mm-hmm.
The ink people, there might not be, I mean, you might have a name for them, but Salika doesn't have a formal name for them. But the people who are kind of like him just...
Yeah.
Well, maybe not like him. He's aware that you're not a god.
Yeah.
He just genuinely believes in your plan. But these people probably do see you as a divine entity.
Yeah.
These people, so like a Silvery Moon likes to refer to, the first time you've ever heard him do something like this, he has a pet name for them, Patriots.
That's awesome.
And as they begin scaling the walls, he turns to you and he says, "Truly, there is no shortage of patriots this day."
Aren't we lucky, I say. Aren't we lucky?
You watch as Silvery Moon planned. They scale the wall without any issue, and you can sense the ink people, you can sense as they begin entering the tower itself, just at the base level. There's a long, grand hall as you enter, which you might not be too shocked or surprised by this. Your awareness is different from a regular human.
Yeah.
But this hallway does not conform to the material plane. It slowly stretches upwards, and it is far too long for the space that it should be inhabiting. Cool.
Do I? Is part of my plan entering with these other inky black people?
Yeah. Your clan is essentially, well, I don't know if you want to capture or kill this entity, but this place is a very strong connection to the inky black. Unbeknownst to this entity, it has ripped a dozen myriad holes in the material realm. The biggest one is here.
Yeah, okay.
If you can capture the Lonely Tower, you can you can get the inky black into the material
realm. Capture the Lonely Tower, and if whatever entity lives here has to die for us to do it, so be it.
Is the plan, though, would you prefer to try and capture? It's a very powerful, sentient being.
I think it would be kill, honestly. Kill? Okay. I think actually we need to eliminate this, because that's a threat.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
You're not 100% aware of this. You don't, because the entity isn't connected to the Inky Black. It's just accidentally let it in.
Yeah.
But this entity, you get the impression that it might, if it figures out what's going on, it might be like, oh, I need to close these holes.
Cool. So it is worth, in fact, that's probably priority number one.
Okay.
Is eliminate this entity.
Sure. All right. Yeah. Well, your ink people and the Patriots begin slowly scouring the bottom level. There's some, you wouldn't even call it resistance. It's just the strange nature of this place can be hostile to creatures from the material realm. So some encounters end with destruction.
Yeah.
It initially, the entity that dwells within this tower still isn't aware of your presence.
That's great. That's fantastic.
And you still standing on the deck, the water sloshing either side of the sink.
I will turn around and I will head back into the dining room.
Do you have a servant bring out mutton?
Yes, I'm not doing it.
Okay,
Of course. No, no. I head out because my ruse, I suppose, was going in there to organize the food. So I return and I say the mutton will be just moments away.
The Viscount Pugliese says to you with raised eyebrows, was there some problem?
No
you
problem.
You were gone for some time just to say mutton.
They were preparing a meal for others in the castle. I had to redirect their attention to us.
The Viscount seems to accept that answer.
Yeah, I apologize for my absence. I've joined them at the table.
This is fine, I suppose. Mm-hmm. It's strange. I must ask you, I have a question.
So, my understanding is given that Fairburn Point's two major sources of income, exports, are the coals that you mine here and the fish that you capture
Absolutely, yes.
I have a question, though. I have noticed he opens a... He has a book with him as well, much smaller than Ada's book. Oh, Ada isn't here unless you asked because the Viscount is having Ada... The Viscount just assumed Ada wasn't invited to this. Would you have invited Ada?
Yes, I would have. Because if she's here, she's not looking into our books.
Okay, that's best.
Yeah.
Well, she's sitting here just being very quiet. In actual fact, maybe not 100% quiet, as the Viscount starts flipping through his little book, he's quite clearly lost for the page, and Ada flips a couple pages for him and shows the page he's looking for. So I see it's there is an interesting change in the, not the coal specifically, but the fish. There has been a 10% reduction in exports over the past, 2 months?
I start nodding like,
You know this is because the mining is very good for a lot of the cults that exist around Fairburn Point have their origins in people who found a hole while mining. The mining industry, you're happy to keep that churning, but you have taken a lot of the fishermen to serve either in your army or for many other different tasks.
There has been, quite the reduction in the amount of fish that our fishermen have been able to catch. It's something we're definitely looking into.
Have you consulted a cleric of Ahelia? Ahelia is the human god of the sea.
We're consulting all kinds of clerics at the moment.
Where is, I wished to meet also with the high priest. The Viscount looks at you and at the patrician. I had requested this. Where is the high priest? The high priest is off doing the Court of Dragons.
Unfortunately, the high priest is otherwise occupied at the moment. How long do you intend to stay with us here?
Oh, well, as long as it takes to plumb every depth. You are still new as the regency, so perhaps it is of good fortune to you that I am here.
I would say so, absolutely.
We can work together to find this.
I
these
slam
discrepancies,
my hand on the table. Yes.
These nasty, pesky discrepancies. You
You're not sure exactly if this is either a power play or if this person
just
doesn't
really genuine.
Like, no, this person either doesn't like you or this is a power play, but you feel a threat in what he just said.
Interesting. Okay. Just like the briefest, you know, flash across my eyes, registering that, and then I continue on. Well, when the high priest returns, I would hope that you'd be here so that you can talk to her.
I would like
to. I'm sure she'd be more than happy to, you know, address whatever concerns you have regarding our
fishing
output.
I have many.
Yeah, well, wonderful.
Yes, there
we are an open book here at Fairburn Point.
Yes, this is neither here nor there, of course, either, but I wish to. There are also some issues with church coffers.
I see.
Yes. That is another thing that you have been siphoning.
Yes, yes, yes. I see. Well, we'll look into that as well. Like you said, I'm new to this. Previously, I lived by the sword, and it's been a change for me. So whatever help you can provide, I'll gladly accept.
Food is being served, and as it's being served, when the Viscount's food is served, he waves at the book in front of him, expecting someone else to pick it up, and Ada leans over quickly and snatches the book and puts it on her pile of many other things.
Would you like, I say, as the big pile of books like sort of grows, would you like somebody to take those books to a room or something to get it off the table while we eat?
She looks over at the huge stacks in front of her. The Viscount leans in. No need.
Well, of course. I mean, it's your decision.
We can at least stain any of the pages, Ada.
Shall we at least move them to a separate table?
I say. Very well then.
I'll do it. I get up and I collect the books and I move them to a separate table. And as I do that, I would like to give Ada a sort of sympathetic look. Like, I get it. You know.
She mouths, "Thank you."
I'll sit back down and I'll start eating the mutton.
While you're eating, the Viscount engages you in some conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So I notice that there is soot on every building in this city. It is everywhere. It feels like it is within the very essence of the people of this place. Yes, they seem downtrodden.
Well, that's you know, one of the side effects of being a mining city.
Of course.
It's unfortunate, and I would love to dedicate some of the city's resources to cleaning it, but it's a low priority at the moment.
As
for the people's emotional state, well, I couldn't speak to that.
You know, in Hydale, they deal with these things with, of course, a circus. Perhaps that should liven people's moods.
Oh, a circus?
Yes.
Oh, that's an interesting thought.
There is a yearly circus that comes through Hydale.
Well, I mean, if you want to give me the details,
would love to do this for you.
I've always loved the circus.
Yes. I have many ideas on how to improve this place.
Fantastic. That's good to hear. A circus would be a fine addition to the city.
Terrible, by the way. I assume you have heard on the campaign trail to retake Blue Beach.
Yes.
The army, the main army, its force was waylaid by... there was a river crossing. Did you hear about this?
I don't believe I did.
There was a river crossing, and of course, Blue Beach, the dusted bastards that they are. They are obviously rules the waves, but now they seek to rule the rivers as well.
Is that so?
Yes, there was a boat that they had on the river, and as people were passing, they did not even realize, but the boat was a fire ship. And as the main bulk of the army had crossed, as many people on the bridge as possible, the ship, kaboom!
No.
Hundreds dead.
Well, that's a tragedy.
Truly, truly, truly. But no worry. We will crush them. They will be brought to heel and their leaders executed.
I like, with my fork and a bit of a flourish, stab it into some mutton. I hope you do, I say. And then I'll slide the mutton off the fork.
Oh, no, I would never. I am not
yourself, obviously. Yes,
of course, this is a matter for generals and
indeed.
Those who follow them.
Yes, yes. Please, I gesture.
I must also ask.
Of course, I'm an open book.
What do you think, please, of the, I heard... dreadful news. It's the Knights of Carceres. They send a team here.
Yes.
We get the copy of letters, correspondence that they send us. If they send it to some place like Fairburn Point, they might also send us a copy.
Mm-hmm.
They speak of a terrible cult that might be around here as well.
Well, you know, I have to admit that they are correct on that front. We're doing everything we can, but tell you what, we value their input on something like this. You know, they have the resources. That's what they do.
Please do not forget that we have resources and some experience. I consider myself perhaps somewhat quite clever at rooting out those people's true intentions.
Is that so?
Yes. Once again, you get an aura of a threat in that.
Is that so? Could you give me an example?
Well, they could try to just unfurl, and then as soon as the wind has caught their sails, they're out of here. They have a much faster ship than ours. So, Grace, mm-hmm. your awareness shifts again.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you?
I am Punchinello, barbarian clown owl. Imagine a sort of horrible, like there's something wrong with my wings where they don't fold in properly, so they just drag behind me. I'm wearing like a kind of horrible, dirty jester's outfit, and all my feathers are like extremely ruffled. This is the body I'm inhabiting currently.
Evocative.
Yeah.
You're speaking with Captain Wepper the Eye, mm-hmm. the gnomish captain of your ship, the Stormfaller.
Mm-hmm.
Her name comes from the fact that she lost an eye in a fight, and her other eye is mechanical, a series of clicking and whirring gears with a little ruby set in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Also standing at the helm of the ship is your master of masks, Redora Gaius Remus. She is an incredibly tall dragonborn woman wearing a flowing black cloak that trails the ground behind her. She wears strings of baubles and charms that, like spider webs, crisscross all over her in archaic and arcane patterns. She is also a cowl. So imagine the dragonborn face
mm-hmm.
that comes to a very tightly set cowl.
That's cool.
On her head.
Yeah, awesome.
Which, flows down. So Redora has a bit of controversy around her. When you came to power, mm-hmm. there was a rumor in the court of Fairburn Point that she had, her predecessor, mm-hmm. died under quote-unquote mysterious circumstances.
Yeah.
She also communicates mostly through telepathy, which mm-hmm. prevents people from eavesdropping.
Yeah.
Well, that's what she says, mm. but if you want, that could be because she is almost entirely filled with inky black.
Yeah.
You may decide how controlling you are of her.
I would say yes. She's a lot. There's a lot of inky black in this woman.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, she definitely was of the members of court
mm-hmm.
who you had to kind of the key, who had the keys to power that you had
yes.
to get on side.
Yeah, yeah. She would have been one of them.
Well, not just that. She is one of them.
Yeah,
but she also would have been possibly the most rebellious.
Yes, yeah, yeah, for sure. I suppose if it's her predecessor dies under mysterious circumstances.
Yeah.
I don't want to die under mysterious circumstances. So it would have, inked her up as much as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, in that case then, her telepathic powers is more because she can't speak anymore.
Yeah.
It's literally just skin wrapped over inky black.
Fantastic. Where are they now, the Knights of Cosrae?
So their ship, the Gallant Rider, is approaching you. It's coming, where would it be going? It'd be going westward as you're traveling eastward.
Mm-hmm.
You have already, as Sir Grace's awareness enters Punchinello, you kind of get all of his memories mm-hmm. in one quick burst.
Mm-hmm.
While you were away, the Master of Masks, she has been kind of nominally in control of the operation. Because the Knights of Cosrae announced the presence of these three knights who... No, I don't think you know who they sent. But you know three knights have been sent.
Mm-hmm.
This was announced, so you aren't trying to hide right now.
Mm-hmm.
You, through flag signals, have signaled them down that you're from Fairburn Point and you'd like to speak before you both arrive together.
Yeah, cool.
The plan being to,
before they can even dock to...
In addition to that,
mm-hmm.
just something that you should keep in mind, the Knights of Cosrae were clearly suspicious of you because they sent, they call an informatore,
mm-hmm.
essentially a spy. They sent one ahead and didn't tell you about that.
Yeah.
The informatore was almost immediately picked up.
Cool. Thank God, I was going to say.
Has been quote-unquote dealt with.
Yes, all right.
You are signaling them to allow you to dock with them at sea.
Do we have... I guess a lot of our ships are currently at the Lonely Tower, which
is the problem,
a
yeah.
real issue.
You're currently on, it's just the Stormfaller.
Okay.
That's the only ship you have. But they only have one ship as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The problem as you are now, as you're getting all the punch in all those thoughts, the problem is their ship is faster than yours. So if they try to flee, you've lost them.
Okay.
Punchinello, I have to get the voice.
As you enter, the Master of Masks, Redora, turns to you as just ink, as just skin stretched over ink. She's immediate. You don't need to tell her anything.
No, yeah.
You direct her without thought.
Cool, awesome.
Well, to stop them leaving, perhaps we destroy their sails, first of all.
The captain nods.
Remove the means of exit.
The captain nods slowly. We have methods to do that. Bring up the ballista. Bring up the twin ballista.
Good.
A two-shot ballista, which the two bolts have a chain in between them. The chain being you fire it at the mast.
Yeah.
It wraps around the mast, tearing it off.
We get them to dock with us, and then we anchor their ship. Once they are anchored, we destroy the sail, and then we can deal with them.
Ah! The double bolt ballista is as ordered. It's brought up on deck. Mm-hmm. People are loading it, getting ready to fire it. You have a bunch of the gate guards are manning the ship. A lot of them are dressed in a surreptitious manner to try and assuage, once you're docked, to try and assuage any fear that something might happen.
Yeah, cool.
All of the people on this boat are trained soldiers ready to fight, but they are dressed like sailors.
Yeah, we're kind of incognito. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
You're incognito mode.
Yeah, we're incognito mode right now.
All right. So as you get closer, you're still waiting for the gallant rider to properly respond. They've acknowledged through flag signals.
They've acknowledged that, like, we're there, but they've not given us like a response.
Yeah. You, Punchinello, you can see on the deck, it looks, you're still far enough away that you're worried they could try to escape. You can see on the deck, there seems to be a hurried conversation.
Okay.
They seem
suspicious.
Yeah.
Do they seem suspicious?
Yeah.
Okay. How are we going to assuage them? Is the ballista, is our ballista on deck? Because that
it
would
is.
Make them suspicious.
It is on deck currently, yeah.
Okay. Do I think that's what's kind of caught their eye? Like, do I think that they're far enough away that they could see the ballista and that's what's caused the problem?
I'll say you got a really good roll for your perception check there. As the argument's happening, one of them, a lizard folk who looks, imagine a Gila monster.
Awesome. Yeah, cool.
A Gila monster lizard person points at your deck and you following that sight line, you see they are pointing directly at the ballista.
Okay. Fuck. Do I think they're far enough away? Are they too far away to hit?
They're not too far away to hit.
Okay.
But if you miss, then the jig is up. And like I said, they're faster than you.
Send them a signal and I will go across to talk to them.
I can fly. I'm an owl.
The message is relayed. What's going to happen? Highs or lows?
Highs.
Highs?
Yeah.
You sure about that one?
Did I actually mean lows? You tell me.
You might have meant lows.
I meant lows, actually.
Yeah. Okay.
Forgive me. A million pardons.
In that case, you get lucky.
Yes.
You can see the Gila monster lizard folk is quite almost hopping up and down mad. Does not want to cooperate. But you see there's someone who quite obviously outranks them, kind of gives them a silencing motion. They storm off a bit mad.
Okay.
But then the flag response is given. They will allow one person to fly over to speak with.
Unfortunately, Punchinello is not probably the best foot forward here.
You could...
Punchinello's really here just for if things get violent, but...
There's a rowboat if you wanted to send either more people or someone else.
Okay, maybe we'll take the rowboat, and I'll send myself and Redora. Redora will be in charge of this conversation.
Okay, no worries. Yeah. You both hop into the boat, and... Oh, I guess Punchinello is quite strong. So Punchinello does. I was about to be like, it doesn't really even matter. You're both essentially the same entity.
Person, yeah.
But your Alan, who is a bit stronger than Redora is, rows you over.
I kind of want the impression that we're giving across is like Redora, very, you know, high ranking, you know, well established person, member of the court, is really the one coming over to have the conversation. And I'm just kind of here as, you know, protection and also as a servant, more or less. Yeah.
You row to the boat. They throw a ladder over so that you can climb up. Does Punchinello stay in the boat?
No, I would probably... I suppose I probably would to keep the boat, you know, keep the illusion and to keep the boat from floating away.
Okay, so Punchinello stays in the boat. If Redora is the only one to go up, that's you still have complete awareness of what's happening.
Yeah, I can still see through her.
Redora climbs up onto the ship
mm-hmm.
and immediately... So there are, I'll tell you three quick things about the boat. The three things that Redora clocks immediately. Mm-hmm. The first thing is there are four people on the boat, not three.
Okay, goddamn.
So there is, as I said, the lizard folk Gila monster type.
Mm-hmm.
He wears a cape and has a fetching hat.
Okay, nice.
There is a dwarven cleric, mm-hmm. presumably. You assume cleric because you can see a holy
symbol. Like a religious symbol, yeah.
He is currently holding a cup of tea.
Okay.
He looks quite chill with the entire situation.
Nice.
And then finally, there's a tabaxi, a snow leopard tabaxi. Mm,
okay.
The snow leopard is... There's no other way to describe him. Swole.
Okay.
He looks like he'd give Punchinello a run for his money.
Okay, cool.
And then there is the ship's captain, you presume, mm-hmm. the person who cut off the Gila monster and who seems to be the highest ranking knight mm-hmm. of Carcery here. As Redora mm-hmm. steps up, that ship captain helps her up. Hello, I am Tenete Ikohika.
Okay, all right.
Tenete, you know, is her rank. Ikohika being her name.
Ikohika, cool.
Yeah.
I telepathically, I guess I don't need necessarily to communicate this, but I telepathically communicate to Redora.
You can just... Redora is you. You can just be Redora now if you want. You switch awarenesses.
And leave Punchinello in the boat.
Yeah. Punchinello goes idle mode. The much maligned sequel to sicko mode.
Go in idle mode is sad, dude. Go in idle mode.
Yeah.
I am Redora. I am in charge as well.
That would be Redora communicating telepathically.
I do so.
Tenete Ikuhika seems a little taken aback at first with just kind of suddenly being mm-hmm. telepathically communicated with, but she rolls with a punch on that one.
Mm-hmm.
These are, and she gestures to the Gila monster. These are Yearning D. Los Angeles,
mm-hmm.
gestures to the dwarven cleric, Pom Penny Farthing, mm-hmm. and gesturing to the tabaxi, Drifting Snowflake.
It's a pleasure to meet you. I communicate to all of them. And then...
They seem a bit wary.
Okay.
The Tenete seems to... there seems to be like a politeness.
Mm-hmm.
All four of them appear to be kind of still gauging you, but they have different like methods.
Mm.
It looks like Yearning, the Gila monster specifically, wants to fight you to kind of like learn to gauge you.
Yeah.
But the Tenete seems much more happy to have a conversation.
Obviously, I communicate as Redora. We welcome you to Fairburn Point. And you are welcome to look through whatever information you need to look through. You're welcome to speak to whoever you need to speak to. We would like, if this is amenable to the four of you, to leave a member of our court with you, a sort of collateral from us, just to make sure that everything is above board. Would you acquiesce to that request?
They have a conversation. In that conversation, actually, as you're speaking... I assume because you can choose when you're speaking telepathically, you could choose who you are.
I communicate it to all of them, I would say, yeah.
You see Yearning D. Los Angeles, the Gila monster,
mm-hmm.
he seems to get really like thoughtful when you say that.
Okay.
And when they have a private conversation, you see there's like, it's a very intense conversation, but you see Yearning quite clearly keeps glancing over at you.
Mm.
And then when they break, the Tenete says, "Yes, that works just fine with us. Yearning would love to see your ship."
Fabulous, I say. I communicate. Then I would like to make a gesture or like lean over the boat. Punchinello, come up here. And then transfer back into Punchinello, clamber onto the mm-hmm. boat and join this group of people.
Mm-hmm.
This is Punchinello. He will be acting as our representative.
They... as they greeted mm-hmm. Redora, they greet Punchinello.
Punchinello.
I extend a big wing.
I am Yearning D. Los Angeles.
Pom Penny Farthing.
Drifting Snowflake.
It is a pleasure to meet you.